We get started again today at lectionary at lunch. During this season, when the Book of Acts are the readings, or has the readings for the Old Testament, we're picking from the Psalms. And today we have Psalm 133, which is a nice little psalm, only three verses. But it's three verses that invite the reader to meditate and reflect and think through the imagery. So it's a good example of how to read the imagery that you find abundantly in the Old Testament and New Testament. These are similes. And the purpose then of giving this simile of this picture is to help us to think about the issue, the topic, through the lens of this picture. So we have two pictures that he gives us. One is this picture of oil covering Aaron, and the other is this picture of dew. And so we want to think about how is the subject of the discourse like these similes. I find this type of picture language and imagery to be a lot of fun, actually very challenging, but also very useful for working with in terms of teaching and preaching these texts, because you can really make it concrete. All right, so Psalm 133, share a song, or the song, Ha Ma'alot, of the ascents of the going ups, Le David of David. That's the title, and now we begin with the psalm. Hine ma tov umana'im. So hine is one of those interjections that calls the reader's attention to the following word or phrase. So take notice of the following word or phrase. That's what hine means. It's like idu in Greek. Look, notice, or consider, or hey, ma tov, how good, what good, uma na'im, and what pleasantness, na'im, tov and na'im. Na'im is more of the idea of beautiful, aesthetically good. Tov is just good as opposed to bad, very general word. The antonym is ra. Tov, remember, is the word that occurs in Genesis 1. God saw each what he had made each day and said it was tov, good, appropriate. It functions the way God meant it to function. It's just right. So how good and how pleasant, how beautiful is Shevet Akim Gam Yachad? Is the Shevet, that's the dwelling, Akim, of brothers. Shevet is in form the infinitive construct of Yashav, to dwell, to sit. Sometimes it's used as a noun, the seat, but here I think it's more the verbal idea, that how pleasant, how good, how pleasant is the dwelling of brothers, Gam, even, or also, Yakad, together. Gam kind of strengthens the force of Yakad. So these are many brothers, but they dwell Yakad, together, as one. So it's extolling the beauties of unity, of unity. And what does the psalmist mean by brothers? And it could be just a reference to the nuclear family, but I don't think so. I think it means Israel. Israel as a whole. And the rest of the psalm kind of makes that clear. This would be a nice psalm for extolling the beauties of the unity of the church. We confess that in the creed, that there is only one church. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. There aren't a zillion bodies of Christ. There's only one body of Christ. Catholic, small c, universal. There's only one universal church that extends through space and time. We are brothers and sisters. What unites us? Well, the psalm is going to help us out there in answering that question. So it's extolling this unity, and it means to cherish it, value it, how good it is, how pleasant it is. I'm reminded of Ephesians 4, you know, maintain the unity in the bond of peace in the by the Spirit. Verse 2, Ka Shemen, like the oil, Ha Tov, the good. And Tov here is an adjective, like the good oil. Notice Tov is occurring again. It's like the good oil, Al Ha Rosh, on the head, Yored, descending. That's a participle, so it continually descends, Al Ha Zakan, on the beard. So it's like the oil that's poured on top of the head and descends over the head, over the face, on the beard. Zakan Aharon, the beard of Aaron, Sheh, which. Now Sheh is a variant of Asher. It's a relative pronoun. Actually, it's usually considered a later variant of Asher. Which, Yored, another participle, which descends, Al-Pi, Midotav, on the mouth of his hems, referring to the hems of his garment, and the mouth of it, the bottom of it. So this oil descends on the head, down the beard, and then from the beard to the hems of the garment, to the feet, in other words. So this oil covers all of Aaron the high priest. Now, somehow that image has something to do with the unity of brothers. And so we have to think about, what's the point of comparison? How is oil being poured over Aaron like the unity of brothers? Well, let's read on before we get to that. Verse 3, Katal, like dew, like the dew, Hermon of Hermon. Like the dew of Hermon. Mount Hermon, of course, is that 9,000 foot high mountain that's northeast of the Sea of Galilee. Highest mountain in the whole area. It's the only snow-capped mountain around. It's the source of the Jordan River. It doesn't seem very high to our standards, you know, when we think of Colorado, but in that area, a 9,000 foot high mountain is really a big mountain. So like the dew of Mount Hermon, the dew comes from Mount Hermon. Sheh, which, Yored, descends, Al Har-Rei Tzion, which descends on the Har-Rei Tzion, on the mountains of Zion. That's a little odd that you have a plural here. Usually you have a singular, mountain, Mount Zion. I think it refers to the surrounding mountains, the surrounding hills. But it's also, I think, alluding to this idea of plurality in unity. There are many mountains, but there's only one Zion. And that harks back to many brothers, but one. Anyway, this unity that these brothers share is like the dew of Hermon, which descends, it comes from up north, and it descends and falls on Mount Zion. So how is unity like that dew that does that? Have to think about that. Let's read on. Key four, Sham, there, namely in Zion, Tziva Yahweh. Yahweh has commanded, Eth HaBarakah, the blessing. So there in Zion, Yahweh has commanded, he has mandated, he has commissioned blessing. Chayim, life, Ad HaOlam, forever. Eternal life, life that goes on forever. Olam technically means the most distant point on the timeline. And so ad olam would be toward the most distant point on the timeline, that would be into the future. When they want to refer to the past, they'll use the preposition min. So we usually just translate forever. Okay, now how to make sense of this? Well, first of all, you have to keep in mind that in the ancient Near East, oil was good, not bad. So we tend to think of, oh, would that be icky having all this oil poured on me? But in that world, that was a great joy and blessing when you come in from the hot desert and work in the fields all day and your skin is dried out from the sun, and then to have this calm, refreshing oil poured on you, that just evokes only positive connotations. So this unity is a pleasant thing. It's like good oil, aromatic oil that is poured on Aaron. Now Aaron, of course, was the high priest. The high priest does his ministry there at Zion. What does the high priest do there at Zion? He blesses the people with the Aaronic benediction, right? What else does he do at Zion? He offers the atoning sacrifices. He brings the people the word of God. So the priest and Zion go together. And this is a hint, I think, as to how this unity is created. It's created through the blessing of the Aaronic priesthood located there at Zion. At any rate, this unity is like this oil that unites the top of Aaron with the hems of his garments at the bottom. So this oil unites all of Aaron. It's positive oil, it's pleasant and refreshing, and also a unifying factor. So the oil is, this unity is like the oil. But maybe we can even compare the oil to like the blessing. It's like the blessing that Aaron gives. Well, let's read on. Verse 3. This unity of brothers, this dwelling together, is like the dew of Hermon, which is way up north, and it comes down to Zion, which is down south in Jerusalem. In other words, what is it that unites the northern 10 tribes with the southern 2 tribes? It's this dew. So I think he's referring to the unity of all of Israel, the north and the south, and how pleasant is that unity. It's like this dew that unites the whole land. And where does the dew land? It lands in Mount Zion. In other words, Zion is the location of this unity. And why is it that Zion is so important? Verse 3b, because there in Zion is the blessing. There in Zion is eternal life. There in Zion is the Aaronic priesthood. There in Zion is atonement. There in Zion is the word of God. There in Zion is God's incarnational presence located there in the temple for Israel. There in Zion, God has located himself in his name and made himself accessible to Israel. That's all there in Zion, see? And that's the center, then, of Israel's unity. So let's translate this psalm into Lutheran language. It would mean something like this. How blessed is it when the church, when brothers and sisters are one in Christ. How wonderful that is. And what is it that creates this unity? It's the one gospel, the one baptism, the one Lord's Supper, the one holy absolution. It's the means of grace in the church that create it, that give this blessing, that give this eternal life, and that preserve the oneness that we have together. And so it means that we cherish the source of our oneness, and we're zealous to maintain this oneness, and we cherish the oneness as well. So it's a wonderful psalm, really, once you get into the imagery. It's like this oil, it's like this dew. Dew, of course, is refreshing. Oil is refreshing. It's not just good functionally in a utilitarian sort of way, but it's pleasant. It's beautiful. It's lovely. And all of this supports the thesis statement then in verse 1, how good, how pleasant is the dwelling of brothers as one. You know, and to just extol that unity. It would be a good psalm then for preaching about the unity of the church in a congregation, trying to emphasize that unity, especially if there are all kinds of squabbles going on and factions. Just to call the people to the joy of this unity and to the source of this unity. Okay, thank you very much.